It's brief, but to share that with me. So I'll read it once, and I invite you to maybe close your eyes, and we're going to say it a couple of times and kind of sink into it. It's very short. So it is, here's the affirmation. I belong to nature and am as wonderful as it. I belong to nature and am as wonderful as it. One more time. I belong to nature and am as wonderful as it. And now, Elisa?
The First Tree by Lenore Hetrick. Nature looks across the seas she has newly made. Now, said nature, life must have a place of cooling shade. All my creatures shall have rest from the sun's high tide. Underneath a leafy bough shall my creatures hide. So out from the deep black earth rose a mighty tree. The hill wind sang a song of welcome. Greetings, roared the sea. When the sun had reached its zenith, in the tree's cool shade, all the creatures lay them down, and they were not afraid. Ever since the tree has flourished, mighty and yet kind, nowhere else can beast or man sweeter solace find.
And now we will have our opening hymn, Blue Boat Home. Number 1064 in your green hymnals if you have those, or the words will be on the screen. Pardon me? No, well, I'm the song closest we're going to get to a song leader, so. I'm just going to do it. I think a lot of us know this, and if you'd like to stand, you're welcome to do so.
Me, I feel ocean, standing on these mountains and plains, far away from the rolling ocean. Still my dry land heart can say, I've been sailing all my life now. Never harbor or port have I known. The wide universe is the ocean I travel, and the earth is my blue boat home. Sun, my sail, and moon, my rudder, as I ply the starry sea, leaning over the edge in wonder, casting questions in the deep, drifting here with my ship's companions. Our kindred pilgrim souls, making our way by the lights of the heavens, in our beautiful blue boat home. Never harbor or port. Lord, have I known. Wide universe is the ocean I travel, and the earth is my blue boat home.
Beautiful. Nice job, everybody. Please have a seat. So in this moment, we pause for gratitude. We pause to look at how we can add to the world, whether it's here at WOOF or outside in our daily lives, all of the wonderful things we receive from others, sometimes surprises, wonderful things that we get to enjoy in our lives. And we will collect our offering for the day. If the host will please come forward as the music plays, you can think of your gifts. Thank you for your gifts in support of this fellowship. And before I go on, we will sing. Oh, I'm sorry. Let us please move on to our affirmation of gratitude and giving. Let us be grateful when we are able to give, for many do not have that privilege. Let us be grateful for all those who share their gifts with us, for we are enriched by their giving. Let us be grateful even for our needs, so that we may learn from the generosity of others. And I did want to say, during Blue Boat Home, you may not have realized, I brought out a picture of the blue boat that we got from Betsy. She brought this in for a service. I forget why that came in, and I had tucked it away in the back. And I always wanted to get this to Evan and to say, do we want to put this up somewhere? And I totally thought about it during that song. So I'm so glad we picked it. Like, I'm going to leave it right here. I will not forget it. Anyway, thanks, Betsy. And so we'll move on to our time for all ages.
The story I'm going to tell is called The Seeking Tree. All living things are part of an intricate and connected ecosystem. The abundant resources of our planet are not disposable. There exists a delicate balance to give and take. In a rapidly changing climate with concern over global warming, this story reminds us to pause and revere the beauty of our natural world. It is our responsibility to share and protect it. Dedicated to all living things that share our planet. There once was a sapling who wanted nothing more than to commune with everything in the magical world. Deer, birds, bears, foxes, and even insects would sit with the trees. But there was one part of their world that wouldn't. Will you sit with us? They are busy, small one. They work to hunt and gather. Will you sit with us? They are busy, small one. They travel to find community. But they have hunted and gathered. Now they travel to find community. When will they sit with us? Will you sit with us? They are busy, young one. They build shelters for comfort. But they have hunted and gathered. They have found community. Now they build shelters for comfort. When will they sit with us? When will they sit with us? They are busy, young one. They build roads to connect with others. But they have hunted and gathered. They have found community. They have built shelters for comfort. Now they build roads to connect with others. When will they sit with us? Will they sit with us? They are busy, young one. They fight for freedom. But they have hunted and gathered. They have found community. They have built shelters for comfort. They have built roads to connect with others. Now they fight for freedom. When will they sit with us? They're busy, young one. They mass produce food for sustenance. Will they sit with us? But they have hunted and gathered. They have found community. They built shelters for comfort. They have fought for freedom. They have built roads to connect with others. They have fought for freedom. Now they mass produce food for sustenance. When will they sit with us? They are busy, grown one. They use machines to move and do things faster. But they have hunted and gathered. They have found community. They have built shelters for comfort. They have built roads to connect with others. They have fought for freedom. They have mass produced for food, for sustenance. Now they use machines to move and do things faster. When will they sit with us? Will you sit with us? For thousands of years we have waited. They have found community. They have built shelters for comfort. They have built roads to connect with others. They have found, they have fought for freedom. They have mass-produced food for sustenance. They have used machines to move and do things faster. Now all that sits with us are machines. That is a tree. There used to be millions of them. Most are extinct. There are only a few left. That's one of them. What happened to them? The bald cypress tree, origin estimated to be year 1772. The world changed. There are so many people. Some say there wasn't enough space for them. Can we sit with it for a while? Warning, bald cypress tree seed pods are not for human consumption. Repeat, bald cypress seed pods are not for human consumption. Will you help? Can you plant one? You can change our future. Please protect the trees. Will you sit with us? 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 Some of the oldest living things on our planet are the majestic trees that stand beside us. Many species of trees can live for thousands of years, like the bald cypress tree in this story. The record holder is the giant Great Basin bristlecone pine. It is estimated to be over 5,000 years old and is still alive as of the writing of this book. It is one of the oldest non-clonal trees in the world and one of the oldest living organisms on planet Earth. These trees can survive even the severest droughts by going into a dormant state and only reawakening when the rain or snow begins to fall again. Other record holders are the giant sequoia, Sierra juniper, Patagonian cypress, sacred fig, and African baobab. Trees are an important part of our world. And now let's sing the children to their classes.
Please stand in four marches and
we hold you in our love as you go, as you go. Heart be at peace as you go. To nurture the spark of your precious life, we hold you in our love as you go.
When I am among the trees, by Mary Oliver. When I am among the trees, especially the willows and the honey locusts, equally the beech, the oaks, and the pines, they give off such hints of gladness. I would almost say that they save me, and daily. I am so distant from the hope of myself, in which I have goodness and discernment, and never hurry through the world, but walk slowly and bow often. Around me the trees stir in their leaves, and out and all out. Stay a while. The light flows from their branches, and they call again. It's simple, they say, and you too have come into the world to do this, to go easy, to be filled with light, and to shine.
As we prepare to enter this time of sharing our joys, sharing our sorrows that we bring with us today, I do invite you, if there's anyone in your heart who is not here, whether living or past or future, that you'd like to bring into this space by calling their name out, that you're welcome to do so. Each of us rose today and started our day. We carried with us the weight of yesterday, many yesterdays perhaps, the hope of tomorrows. As we gather here together, I invite you, if you'd like to come forward and pick up a stone. If you're new to the congregation, pick up a stone. You're welcome to transfer whatever you want to into that. It can be hope, joy, love. It can be pain, sorrow, guilt, loss, shame, anything that's on your heart, to transfer into that and then let it sink into the water. We do hold these joys and sorrows together as a group. Today, you are not alone. I'll have a microphone if anyone wants to say a few brief words.
This is for Barb Hansen, speedy recovery. She fell and hurt her knee. Mm-hmm. And I hope she gets better quickly.
No, thank you. One last stone for any joys or sorrows that we still hold in our hearts, or for anyone who might be watching this online now or in the future.
Among Giants by Elisa Joaquin. Giants are real. They are among us in a way that we don't expect. They are silent, but that does not mean they don't speak to us. They breathe in what can harm us. And with their breath, with our breath, we live. They shelter many others in their arms, reaching up to the light, sleeping when the darkness comes. Under their arms, I feel sheltered too. Who are these giants? What are their names? We know them by spruce, oak, hazelnut, sequoia, maple, and many more. Maybe they have names we don't know, names that they call themselves. Ancient names, secret and hidden, that we may never know. I just know when I am sitting among them, I feel humble with their greatness. Giants are real. We should not fear them. They are gentle in their many ways. I look up, and among their arms is a small nest, a bird's nest containing eggs. They soon hatch, and a mother robin starts feeding her young. We should embrace these giants and thank them, because without them we cannot breathe. So walk among them, or sit for a moment, and take in their breath, and give back by breathing too. We live among giants, and even though some may be gone, they still ask us to take a moment and breathe within their circle, a circle that gives us life in return.
I invite you now to take a moment of silence for prayer, meditation, or reflection as you wish. And now, Gary.
I just want to preface my comments with an observation about Blue Boat Home. It's my favorite hymn because when Elisa and I were in another unique congregation, I just decided to riff one day and pretend that I was seasick while we were singing it. And she could barely contain her laughter. I've always loved to try to make her laugh in public spaces where we're not supposed to. My name is Gary Joaquin. Elisa and I are your Grounds Committee co-chairs. We've been UUs for 40 years and WOOF members for 4.5. Elisa has authorized me to speak for both of us, but not before giving me a lot of input and a fair amount of constructive critique. Trust me, she doesn't hold anything back, so I'll try to do my best. WOOF is a very special place. It's sited on 2.7 acres of land, more than half of it forested. Douglas fir is the predominant species. According to the Metzger Progress Community Plan, a subset of the Washington County Comprehensive Plan, comprising parts of Beaverton, Tigard, and unincorporated Portland, our property is officially designated as a wildlife habitat. So how did we get involved as caretakers of this habitat, such a unique ecosystem in a sprawling urban area like Portland? It's very odd for me to be standing here today. Historically, Elisa, true to her small-town Fremont, Nebraska roots, has been the gardener. She loves digging in the dirt. As for me, the city kid from Providence, Rhode Island, I've shown zero interest in dirt or gardening. In fact, as an avid woodworker, I've been fond of saying for years that my interest in trees begins after they're dead and have been cut into dimensioned lumber. Yet, here I am. When I was a teenager, my family liked to take summer trips to New Hampshire. I learned to love the mountains. After Elisa and I took a trip to Washington State in the 90s, it left a smile on our faces. So 10 years ago, we decided to retire to the Pacific Northwest. The Cascade Mountains here are like New Hampshire's White Mountains on steroids. Before our move to Oregon, Elisa and I lived in Northern Virginia for many years, where we attended Fairfax Unitarian Church, a beautifully pastoral 7-acre wooded site. We felt at home there. WOOF reminds us a lot of that place. On Sundays in Fairfax and at WOOF, when speakers like me drone on and on and on, when minutes feel like days, I could always look out the window and watch the changing seasons and see if the wildlife was doing anything more interesting. During the mid-2020, soon after the pandemic had us firmly in its grasp, Elise and I began volunteering during weekly and monthly grounds work parties hosted by our former grounds committee chair, Suzanne Riles, a master gardener. When social distancing had become the norm, Sue offered us a way to connect safely in person, outdoors, doing meaningful work. A couple of years later, when she needed to step down from her role, she asked Elisa to take her place as grounds chair. Elisa immediately accepted her invitation, and over time, Elisa and I realized that we complemented each other. I wonder how we came to that conclusion. So we decided to share her role with me as co-chair. You might be wondering, What do we do? Taking care of our grounds is steady year-round work, or as our building committee chair, Rick Tangerman, likes to say, we have job security. Weekly tasks can include leaf blowing the parking lot, patio, exterior walkways and building entrances, trail maintenance, including removing down branches, spreading wood chips, weeding and pruning, and cutting down small trees growing too close to buildings, overhead power lines, and storm drains. We can get really busy in the winter. For example, after this year's snow and ice storms, we spent 2 months clearing down branches from our parking lot and trails. To get this important work done, we rely upon WWF volunteers to volunteer. WWF members to volunteer? Year-round, Elise and I host weekly work parties on Thursday mornings from 10 a.m. to noon, and monthly work parties on the third Saturday, also from 10 a.m. to noon. If you're available during these times, please respond to our publicity and mark your calendars. If you can't volunteer in those days, but are available at other times during the week, please let us know, and we'll help you get started. To get started today, scan this QR code and complete the form to become a friend of the WWF's grounds. You can also see Elisa and me downstairs in the coffee room after service is over, and we'll sign you up. Recently, we've noticed that the longer we do this work, the more people want to talk with us. Our role as ground chairs can be very public-facing. We field a lot of questions and requests from members and renters. WWF's primary renter, the Woodhaven School, operates an innovative outdoor educational program for preschoolers. They've become a wonderful work partner. We schedule WWF's monthly ground work parties to coincide with Woodhaven's work parties. They bring a tremendous amount of energy and enthusiasm. Also, since Woodhaven teachers and parent volunteers are on site conducting school 30 hours a week, they play an important role alerting us to problems like large, loose, overhead, widowmaker branches that could fall at any moment, hazards like plants with leaves sharp enough to cut children near the playground, and building hazards like natural gas leaks and loose handrails. In addition, WWF members and other renters have recently reported vegetation areas requiring care, entitled neighbors with unleashed and aggressive dogs on site, and gaps in our neighbor's perimeter property line fencing through which our children might wander off. We will install snow fencing this week. Elise and I document these incidents, consult with a variety of people, and take appropriate action. Of course, even with great volunteers, our community can't do all of the work. Sometimes the work is too dangerous or requires equipment and expertise that we lack, so we rely upon professional resources, including Bartlett tree experts, whose arborists shorten dead Douglas fir trees that pose a toppling hazard, and remove widowmaker branches that we can't reach. Clean Water Services annually inspects our parking lot stormwater runoff swales, and Chip Drop delivers free wood chips for our trails. And you may be wondering, how do we pay for it all? Our Grounds Committee annually operating budget is only $2,700. It's one of the committee line items funded by your annual pledge to WWF. We keep costs low by doing as much of the work as we can with volunteers. Larger, very special projects that can be completed in 1 year can be funded with our annual auction paddle race fundraiser. And we also present on an ad hoc basis emergency and multi-year project proposals to our WWF Board of Trustees for approval. These projects are typically funded with WWF's capital reserve. So, what has our Grounds Committee done for you lately? Last fall, in the southernmost corner of our site, an area that we like to call the Southern Triangle, our arborist detected red velvous fungi growing at the base of a large Douglas fir. A sure sign of stress caused by years of foot traffic in this area, compacting the soil enough to prevent water from reaching tree roots. We also detected two dead Douglas fir, including an enormous one with a 36-inch diameter trunk and a 150-foot tall canopy located only 50 feet away from a neighbor's home. In response to these threats to our forest health and to our neighbor's home, Elise and I proposed to WWF boards a 3-year, $12,400 program to shorten these dead trees, snag their trunks to become wildlife habitats, and to reinvigorate the soil in the Southern Triangle. The program was approved by our board. Phase one began last December. Last April, after receiving numerous parking complaints, I conducted a parking study that confirmed that no additional parking spaces could be gained from changing existing parking space striping. And on July 4th, on what became Woof's Stars and Restriping Day, Cantel Sweeping power washed and restriped her parking lot. 2 weeks ago, using our remaining FY23-24 operational budget funds, Elise and I assembled and installed four new metal benches. We added two new benches to the front of our sanctuary's main entrance and replaced two benches that had been removed from Hope's Rest, an outdoor space for relaxation and meditation designed by our beloved late member, Deneen Mitchell. You might be wondering, what are our future plans? Here are a few of them. Phase two of the Southern Triangle program will begin this fall. Bartlett Tree Services will treat the soil around four Douglas fir. To protect sensitive root areas close to these trees, we plan to plant native ground cover to discourage foot traffic. As this plan emerges, we will be seeking Woodhaven and Woof volunteers to adopt a planting area, a great educational opportunity for children and adults alike. Elise and I will continue to work with volunteers to spread wood chips on trails to improve soil conditions. Last month, our arborist identified a large dead Douglas fir next to the sandbox in the children's playground, which will require removal this fiscal year. A week later, Sue Riles identified two smaller trees starting to interfere with the electrical power pole near our main entrance stone sign along Olson Road. Left untended, these tree roots will also block the storm drain just a few feet away. We're currently seeking a proposal from Bartlett to remove these trees. One of my pet projects that has been on the back burner for a while is to create a current site plan using a GPS receiver capable of 60-millimeter accuracy. It will geolocate buildings, parking, trails, outdoor gathering spaces, and larger trees. This plan will enable us to monitor forest health and create opportunities for future self-guided tours of our site. I'd also like to resume work on the Sue Alperin Woods Grounds database that I modeled last year. Based upon work that Sue did as our grounds chair, this Google Sheets document currently can be accessed with a mobile phone. It will enable us to identify native plants and invasive species while we're working on the grounds. As you know, Unitarian Universalists and WOOF members can be a demanding lot. You probably still want to know what WOOF's grounds means to us. It's important for you to understand what makes us tick and why we do this work. It might even help you decide to join us. My favorite definition of the word religion is derived from the Latin word religio, which means to connect. We derive meaning from making connections between experiences, ideas, people, places, from really any two or more objects. Caring for our grounds offers many opportunities to make meaningful connections. You also get to learn a lot and to make great memories. I'll share a few of mine with you. I've spent hours on site watching crews work. Last year, when I served as the construction project manager for a new storage shed, a resource shared by our buildings and grounds committees, I learned so much about local zoning, building codes, and construction methods. This feeds the building architect in me. With fascination, I watched our concrete contractor dig the foundation wall trenches for our shed, operating his front loader with a tweezer-like precision in the tightest of spaces. Later, I witnessed a dance between his crew pouring and smoothing a concrete slab and the concrete truck operator supplying concrete. They had to exchange hand signals with each other because it was impossible to be heard over the deafening concrete mixer noise. When our arborists were on site last December, I was amazed to see one of them working 100 feet off the ground. I had to squint to see him. When he cut off a 3-foot diameter, 12-foot long trunk section, it sounded like thunder when it fell to the ground. I felt the seismic wave in my feet as it landed. I also felt concern as the tree and the arborist recoiled and swayed together like an upside-down pendulum. This wasn't normal to me. When I asked when the arborist was going to come down for a break, I learned that they don't. They spend up to 10 hours at a time up there, harnessed to the tree trunk, because it takes too much time and energy to climb down and then climb all the way back up again to resume work. You know, talk about being tied to your work. One of our arborists even took a sonogram image of the Douglas fir based upon where we had detected red velvet fungi. We were relieved to learn that no tree root damage was detected, and no, we could not tell from the sonogram if the tree was a boy or a girl. The arborist reinvigorating the Douglas fir with his compressed air spade was so generous with his time. He took a break from his work to talk to Woodhaven School's preschoolers, little arborists in training. He explained that trees need rest too, and that they love the compost and fertilizer salad that he was feeding them. It has been incredible to accompany our arborists on grounds walkthroughs, learning about soil conditions, tree root systems, and how this community of trees that we call a forest lean upon each other for support to resist the wind. We do 2 walkthroughs each year to assess forest health, one during the summer and another during the fall, when changing colors can reveal forest pathogens. Our routine work can be meditative. For example, while I leaf blow the parking lot, I reflect on my day, new insights emerge. When I'm done with my work, I might need up to 30 minutes to document my thoughts. I'm also not above popping my Bluetooth headset on while I work to listen to NPR's Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. Our grounds can be an oasis. When Elisa and I leave home, the heat radiating off of our concrete driveway can be oppressive. Under the shade of Woos Forest canopy, the air is cool. The Olson Road traffic sound is muffled. Working on the backside of our site, it's totally quiet. I can be alone with my thoughts, except when I'm not. Last year, after the Woodhaven volunteer power washed our sanctuary building's emergency egress stair, it revealed a rotten landing floorboard. I stepped right through it. Closer inspection yielded several more rotten boards. After conferring with Rick Tangerman, we decided to replace all of the stairs' floorboards. I thought that this was going to be solitary work, but it wasn't. Apparently, I was working too close to a tiny songbird's nest, and he let me know about it every day. I continued to clean these stairs long after I completed the repair and long after the bird was gone. Still missed the little guy. I used to wonder how our property could be classified as a wildlife habitat when I rarely saw any wildlife of the four-footed variety. Recently, I realized that it was all about the birds. Last year, while Elisa was weeding Himalayan blackberry vines and English ivy, she was accompanied by a curious hummingbird. Last June, Woodhaven teachers pointed out a nest filled with baby birds, easily visible through the rear window of our hemlock classroom. What a laboratory for teaching. What an opportunity for a future Woof wildlife webcam. What an opportunity for alliteration. Will wonders never cease? Hopefully, what we have shared this morning piques your curiosity. Please don't get the idea that we have all of this figured out. Elise and I are learning constantly. We're open to new ideas, new knowledge, and especially new volunteers. We hope that you will choose to support our trees, which have no voice of their own. As you already know, Elisa and I can't do this work alone, and we haven't. It takes a community. Elisa and I would like to take a few moments to acknowledge all of our volunteers. Please hold your applause until the end.
Our grounds role models have been members of the late Sue Alperin and our grounds committee chair emeritus, Suzanne Riles. Would you please stand, Sue, so you can be recognized?
And please remain standing. As you're able. We've also been helped by so many other WOOF members and friends and the wonderful parents and teachers of Woodhaven School. Please stand as you're able when you hear your name called. Evan Oxai.
Craig Anderson.
James Baird.
Howard Baldwin.
Elena and Trent Bellwood.
Eleanor Claggett.
Angie DeVita.
Molly Devine.
Cleone and Stuart Hawkinson.
Brad Hewitt.
Melissa Lloyd.
John Nelson.
John Riles.
Amber Roller.
Larry Schick.
Rick Tangerman.
James Wright.
If we haven't called your name and you have volunteered in the past to help with our grounds, please stand so you can be acknowledged. Let's give each... Let's give each other a round of applause. We now invite you to participate in a brief Q&A. We're very interested in knowing, what do you think of our service so far? What aspirations do you have for our grounds? How would you like to get involved?
I don't have any responses to any of that. My question is, where I live, there's a very strict process for removing trees. Can you talk a little bit about Washington County's rules for taking out a fir with a 36-foot or 36-inch circumference?
That's interesting. You're hitting upon probably an area where I still, as of this date, don't have a great deal of knowledge. Except that I'm aware of distinctions between whether or not it's a street tree versus a tree on our property. I recently contacted PG&E, and they indicated that they would prune and take down trees that were interfering with power lines if they were along the right-of-way. But since we have a tree that's in our swale about 28 feet off of the edge of the parking lot, that becomes the homeowner's responsibility or the owner's responsibility. At this point, our criteria, independent of Washington County, is to do a walkthrough with our arborist to identify trees that are dead, especially those that are above a reasonable height, in which case toppling would cause a risk to an adjoining property or people. For example, the tree that's over by the sandbox is full-grown, huge, 36-inch diameter at least. And if we don't take it down within a year, it may dry out to the point where it could even pose a risk to arborists going up to or remove them. Having said that, it's a great question, Howard, and we can learn more about it.
Thank you, Gary and Alicia, for all your service on our grounds. And Gary, thank you for that beautiful presentation. And being the logical person you are, it was beautiful to see a display of emotion. I'm just curious how far in the future our grounds plan goes and how it addresses climate change.
Yeah, that's an interesting thought. Have we formally addressed it tangentially? I think as we continue to learn more about the biology of the grounds, the policies and procedures, which are in their infancy, and future plans will grow.
No pun intended.
I was heartened by our recent work at spreading wood chips in the affected area where compacted soil had to be reinvigorated, aerated, and injected with peat or fertilizer and compost. our arborist on our most recent walkthrough literally took up a handful of soil, a handful of wood chips, and discovered that within just 6 to 8 months, the chips had already begun to convert to soil, and the ground underneath was moist. It was damp, which I think bodes well considering that we had just finished a week of 100-degree temperature days. So in that respect, the degree to which we can maintain the health of our soil, and our plan is to chip all of our surfaces from 3 to 4 inches in depth and replace it every 3 years. And the time frame for that may even be less. You have to see what the conditions are. I think that bodes well to moisture retention and continued forest health.
So many of us enjoy walking through the WWF grounds, or if you have any, please do. And unfortunately, it's not wheelchair accessible. Have you guys given any thought to how at least one portion of our grounds, off the top of my head, I'm thinking over by the shed, could possibly become wheelchair accessible to at least the circle area?
Yes, we have been asked about that most recently. It is part of a series of projects that we're competitively considering for this year's auction paddle raise. We've walked the grounds and given some thought to the grade level changes where it might be feasible. We will be soliciting some costs from contractors to see if indeed a short segment or a long segment of elevated walkways is indeed feasible. There's also the possibility, and I guess this isn't, this wouldn't be under the auspices of WWF's operating or capital budgets. There's a part of me that's still wrestling with the notion that to what degree do we make the uneven grounds accessible by adding elevated walkways, which will require more maintenance and more cost, versus potentially buying all-terrain wheels for existing wheelchairs that would make them easier to traverse the grounds that we have. But we're going to be as soon as this service is over, almost literally next week. I'll be resuming work with Uwe and Neitzel and Rick Tangerman to continue to obtain cost estimates for the paddle raise with a decision to be made by the board at the end of the month about what will be the focus of this year's fundraiser. And we may have some capital projects that will emerge out of our strategic planning committee's work.
Of course.
Hi, I'm interested in Christine's issue, too, about how do we plan for climate change. And I think the answer probably is it has to do with water and heat. And the solution that works so well in the compacted soil area is probably the solution we need for everywhere.
Closer.
What I'm wondering is, is there any potential for putting chips not only on the trails, but in a lot of areas to make sure that we keep the soil moist and non-compacted? It's a massive job compared to putting them only on the trails. But I think that's probably what it's going to take. Because we can't really do a whole lot of irrigation, I think. I don't know. But I do think the problem with climate change is more heat and less rain. Just thought I'd mention that. It would also keep down the blackberries.
Yeah, I just want to comment that Evan is exploring different ground covers that would be less injurious to children in the playground. So incrementally, we're beginning to address the issue that you're describing. To to accomplish this site-wide, there isn't a cost factor for the chips. They're free from chip drop. It's the labor to spread them. Need some good, strong bodies to help us.
Our closing words. Trees, by Hermann Hesse. For me, trees have always been the most penetrating preachers. I revere them when they live in tribes and families, in forests and groves. And even more, I revere them when they stand alone. They are likely lonely persons, not like hermits who have stolen away out of some weakness, but like great solitary men, like Beethoven and Nietzsche. In their highest boughs, and the world rustles, and their roots rest in infinity. But they do not lose themselves there. They struggle with all the force of their lives for one thing only, to fulfill themselves according to their own laws, to build up their own form, to represent themselves. Nothing is holier, nothing is more exemplary than a beautiful, strong tree. When a tree is cut down and reveals its naked death wound to the sun, one can read its whole life history in the luminous, inscripted disc of its trunk, in the rings of its years, its scars, all the struggle, all the suffering, all the sickness, all the happiness, and prosperity stand truly written, the narrow years and the luxurious years, the attacks within withstood, the storms endured.
Now, if you would please stand and the front rows turn to face the back, join hands if you wish, and we'll sing Carry the Flame.